Meet Chloe. The character is fictional. The experience is shared by people across Southeast today. This is their story. Her battle to train as an advanced nurse practitioner in Isle of Wight West reveals how NHS workforce planning systematically blocks the very healthcare professionals our communities desperately need. While GP surgeries cut their hours and hospital waiting times spiral, the trained staff who could solve this crisis remain locked out by Treasury spending caps that treat public investment as unaffordable debt rather than essential infrastructure.
I grew up in Newport watching the ferries carry people back and forth to the mainland, but I always knew this island was where I belonged. My dad worked the Portsmouth Crossing for 23 years. My mum served school dinners at Carisbrook Primary. They taught me that honest work meant helping your community, and after volunteering at St Mary's Hospital during sixth form, I knew nursing was my path. I qualified from Portsmouth University in 2014 and spent 5 years as a staff nurse in Southampton General, learning intensive care and emergency medicine. But when Mum started showing signs of early onset dementia at just 57, I moved back to the island. She needed family close by, and frankly, I'd missed the slower pace, the way you could walk down Union Street and know half the faces you passed. What I didn't expect was how hard it would be to grow professionally once I was home. By 2019, I'd been working at St Mary's Hospital for 2 years, picking up extra shifts in A&E and watching patients wait 4, 5, 6 hours for basic care. The problem wasn't lazy staff or broken equipment, it was numbers. We simply didn't have enough qualified people to match the demand. I decided to apply for the Advanced Clinical Practice Programme through Health Education England South East. It's a 2-year course that would qualify me as a nurse practitioner, able to diagnose conditions, prescribe medications and order diagnostic tests. Essentially, I'd be able to do much of what a GP does, which was exactly what the island needed. Our GP surgeries were already struggling with appointment backlogs, and several practices had cut their hours due to recruitment problems. The application process was straightforward enough. My clinical experience was solid, my references were strong, and my personal statement practically wrote itself. Trained nurse wants to train further to serve her home community better. What could be more logical? That's when I hit the first door. Health Education England South East wrote back in May 2019. Thank you for your application. Unfortunately, there are no funded places available for the Advanced Clinical Practice Programme this year. We encourage you to reapply next cycle. No funded places available. It sounded reasonable at the time, like a university course that had filled up. I assumed it meant other people had applied first or had better qualifications. I'd try again next year. 2020 brought the same response, almost word for word. This time, I called the regional office and spoke to someone in workforce planning. The Treasury has capped our training budget, she told me. We simply cannot afford to run additional cohorts at this time. I understand it's frustrating, but these are the financial realities we're working within. The Treasury has capped our training budget. Again, it sounded like a fact of life, something beyond anyone's control, like the weather or the tides. The government department that managed public money had looked at their spreadsheets and concluded there wasn't enough to train more nurse practitioners. I accepted it. By 2021, I was getting angry. The third rejection letter arrived just as St Mary's Hospital posted another notice about temporary A&E closures due to staff shortages. I was working 50-hour weeks, watching colleagues burn out, seeing patients whose conditions worsened because they couldn't get timely appointments. The solution seemed obvious. Train more people like me to do the jobs that desperately needed doing. I started asking questions. In early 2022, I called Portsmouth University directly and spoke to the head of their nursing faculty. What she told me stopped me cold. We have 40 empty places on our advanced practice course this year. We could easily accommodate more students, but Health Education England can't fund them. It's heartbreaking, really. The infrastructure is there, the lecturers are there, the clinical placements are arranged, but without the funding commitment, the places sit empty. 40 empty places. The people existed. I was one of them. The university existed. The clinical placements existed. The lecturers existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? That same month, I met three other nurses at a coffee shop in Newport. They'd all moved to the island during COVID, drawn by cheaper housing and the promise of a better work-life balance. All three were experienced, qualified nurses, but they couldn't find work that matched their skills because the NHS needed them in specialised roles that required additional training. Training that wasn't available because, once again, there was no funding. The final piece of the puzzle was physical. Walking through Newport one afternoon, I passed the Isle of Wight College Health Training Centre. It had been a bustling place for years, running courses for healthcare assistants, pharmacy technicians and support workers. Now it sat locked and empty. A small sign on the door explained, "This facility closed in October 2021 due to insufficient funding. For alternative training options, please contact our Ryde campus." I stood there looking at that building, the classrooms, the practical training rooms, the equipment still visible through the windows, and something clicked. The government that issues the pound had told me it could not find enough pounds to connect the unemployed nurses standing in Newport to the empty training places sitting in Portsmouth to the locked training centre right in front of me. All the pieces existed. All the people existed. The decision not to connect them was not about money. It was about choice. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, "We cannot afford it," except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still working at St. Mary's Hospital, still picking up the extra shifts. But I understand now that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or bureaucratic inefficiency. It was the predictable result of treating public investment like household debt. Every empty training place, every locked training centre, every unqualified nurse who could be serving her community traces back to this one false belief that the government that issues the currency must ration it as though someone else were printing it. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard isn't bare. It's locked by choice.
What Chloe experienced has a name: fake experts. Throughout history, industries under scrutiny have deployed carefully selected authorities to legitimise policies that serve narrow interests while appearing neutral and scientific. Tobacco companies cited doctors who downplayed smoking risks. Pharmaceutical firms funded researchers who minimised addiction concerns. The technique works by treating selective opinion as settled fact. In Chloe's case, every time Health Education England said the Treasury has capped our budget, they were citing unnamed authorities who treat the household budget analogy as economic law. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. When Health Education England told Chloe there was no funding for nurse practitioner training, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. The real constraint was never money, but resources. the people who wanted training, the universities ready to provide it, the hospital placements available for practice. All of these existed and sat idle while fake experts insisted the government could not afford to connect them. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Isle of Wight West sits 172 out of 543 English constituencies on the Deprivation Index, English Indices of Deprivation 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 531 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Local organisations receive £10.6 million in grants, 360 giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.